Hey everyone, welcome back to the Multi-Location Marketing Show. My name is Elliot Olson. I'm here with Matt Nichols, our other co-host, along with John Goddard, our guest for today. We're super excited to have John on. And John, thanks for hopping on an episode with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, we're excited to have you. So a little bit about John. He is with Goddard Industries. He's a serial entrepreneur. Tons of experience in the home services space, including some extensive time with like ADT, home security, and just a ton of expertise in call centers, follow-up with leads, you know, for multi-location businesses. So we're going to be hitting on that topic today and talking about how you follow up. Every company's obviously a little bit different with your culture. Some companies, franchises, dealer networks, you know, they pass leads on and help generate leads for the local representatives who then follow up. Other times there's national call centers that answer. So we'll be exploring a little bit about that today. We're excited to you know, dig a little deeper into this topic. And I know John has a ton of expertise in this area. So John, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit and just kind of talk about maybe how you got involved in multi-location, and then we'll kind of dive in.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Matt. Yeah, so again, name's John. Been in the home services space probably a little over 20 years now. Dang, cut my teeth. I know. I kind of just fell into the home services world. I was doing pharmaceutical sales for a long time, and the third time that a company had acquired the company I was with and liquidated the sales force, I'm like, I've got to find something that's a little more stable than this. So I moved over into the world of security and dish satellite. Worked for a company in Indianapolis, Indiana called Defenders for about 7.5 years. And while I was there, I worked in the call center world, but had no idea how to sell security. Actually had bought a home security system not too far before that and thought it was from ADT, but it was actually Defenders that actually installed it. So I got to cut my teeth there. And during that time frame, ran call centers, did a lot of different stuff on both sides, figured out new sales strategies, new like contact strategies for them, and then got into the business partnerships world part of it. And that opened me up to like the whole like location, you know, for groups. There's, you know, Defenders had over 150 locations at one point in time, but we had partners all over the country too that had multiple locations, and we had to figure those all those strategies out of how to do that from a local level. Honestly, until I met you guys, I didn't know there was actually a strategy for multi-location to do local SEO marketing for them that wasn't going to kill you or cost an arm and a leg or have an entire army do it for you. So, but yeah, loved it. And I have been doing it ever since then. It's I love serving people and helping them. And there's never a lack of individuals in the home services space that need help in either digital marketing or sales. So I continue to go out there and foster new relationships with people and try to help them figure out, hey, how do I start my business or continue to grow it or scale it either way. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you. And I know with home services, I mean, nothing's more local than home services. You have to be there to install something in the home, service the home. So it doesn't get more local than that. So in this episode, you know, we wanted to dive a little bit. And we always talk about lead generation, and obviously lead generation is super important. I know with Defenders, and which they were recently acquired by ADT, I believe.
Yeah, correct. A couple of years ago. Mm-hmm.
And they were the largest partner of ADT. So ADT would outsource a lot of their marketing and sales work to an organization like Defenders. Mm-hmm. And they would basically be selling the ADT brand, but they would be the ones installing it. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. They were an authorized dealer. They were actually the number one authorized dealer until they were purchased. But yeah, they had a network of dealers out there, just like almost like a franchise would have. And they got to utilize the name. They had to present themselves as an authorized dealer, but they got to use the ADT name, which was, you know, paramount since ADT has been around for a long time and has a very, you know, reputable brand. So that's how they did it that way.
Okay. Very cool. So obviously, you know, we're not, you know, we know lead gen is super important and how you do that. And you spoke a little bit about that, Well, let's say, all right, we already know we're generating leads. We're getting them at the local level. Different organizations I know have different cultures and different ways that they approach it. As we said, some doing it where they're just passing the lead on to the local representative and they're following up, but others are doing things from more of a centralized call center. In your experience, just talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys handled lead follow-up. How do you get that consistency? What are the, you know, have you done it both ways? What ways do you recommend? What are the pros and cons of, you know, different follow-up strategies, you know, as these leads are being generated, you know, in the local area?
Yeah. So a couple of ways, and again, don't want to like, you know, lay my hand down out of the gate, but call centers work the best when you have multiple locations, in my opinion, just because you can control it better. You have consistency across the board. You can train new individuals. You can actually track everything. When you have, let's say, 50 locations out there and you're just sending leads to the house that them to follow up on and close, there's a disconnect because they have to utilize the systems there. So you're expecting 50 locations to do the exact same thing. When you're in a call center environment, you can have your software set up for the individuals that are on the phone call, but you have the tracking measurements there and you can actually figure out what's going on. So from a follow-up standpoint, if you have one individual in each one of those locations doing all the calls and they get overwhelmed, how are they going to follow up if it's one person? The way we overcame that at the call center level was we decided to like create an entire team that did follow-up, and that's all they did. So the original agent would take the call, and if they couldn't close it on the one call close, because again, when you get a lead in, it's speed the lead. So if you don't answer that within, you know, a few seconds of the someone filling out a form, it's going to go somewhere else. They're going to go to the next location, next person, next.
Yeah, I've heard it's like what there. If you're not like within the first minute or something, yeah. Just like falls up, like the ability or the percentage of people that you actually will connect with and can get to the next.
Yeah, especially if you're using a lead aggregator out there that's probably sent it to four other, you know, individuals as well. Right. It's very hard anymore in this day and age to be the unique owner of a lead unless you're doing it yourself, unless it's your own local SEO that's driving for your own website. But back to the part of it, if you don't answer that call in the first, you know, 5 to 10 seconds of it being live in your queue, basically from a standpoint of the individual and the call center answering it, it just starts to age right then. But the great thing is within the first 30 days, because some people that call and don't want to, they just want to inquire. They don't actually want to make a decision. And if the salesperson cannot get them over that, you know, line to get them to say, yes, I will today, then you need to have a follow-up strategy. And that's what we were doing there. And it varied from different aspects of call in the morning, call in the afternoon, call at nighttime. It's when your call centers are open. You have different leads from across the country that you're dealing with as well, different time zones. So you have to have stuff set up, but you need to have individuals that can talk to those and honestly take a lot of no's. I think the average call center individual is doing the callbacks, did about 100 to 150 a day callbacks. So, and then you would age that out. So honestly, after the first 10 days, that lead might just be stale, but you can also now incorporate email if you have the emails there or text messaging. So there's other strategies that have developed over time that are actually working better now, but if you've got to have someone that's following up regularly, and then you got to have a system that can actually track what did this person, you know, agent A, because agents different, they're not working 24/7. So a different agent's going to be calling. So it's just a number. They don't know who they're going to get on the phone, but they can see the notes that are in there too. So it's basically like you're hand holding down the line that lead to the next person. So it doesn't matter who's doing the calling. It's what's in the system. So the next agent can see what it is. And it's a consistent process. So it's a lot like an assembly line. You're just pushing that lead down the line each time. And each day gets a little older. It also works in the same process if you're doing cross sell. So once you get that lead to this point and sell one product, get that all accomplished and done. If you want to do a secondary product, you have to figure out how far down the road do you like want to follow back up with that person, because you still, this is your beholden deal. You don't want to lose that one.
Your primary business.
For the next one.
Yep. You don't want to jeopardize that to
correct
sell like an auxiliary.
Yeah.
But
so
if you know
that
someone,
yeah.
Yeah. That, if you know someone's buying that service, a lot of times there's complementary services that you can cross sell, is what you're saying.
Right. And okay. We did a really good job of closing on first call close. And I've seen other organizations do very well. So like on average, you're going to see, especially from leads from the internet now, 10 to 20% close rate when the first time close, like the call comes in. But when you add a follow-up system to it, and it doesn't need to be 100 reps, it could be 5. I mean, you're going to get a 5 to 10% bump up on the second time closing that deal as well. So it's important to have that follow-up. If not, you're burning a lot of money. You're leaving a lot of money on the table from a lead generation standpoint. And home services is one of the most competitive landscapes for PPC, you know, buying leads from other groups. So you need to make sure you're spending your money well, or your MC, you know, your marketing costs can go through the roof based on how you're getting leads today. So,
right. So what I hear you saying, like, and I know, cause we've worked on some programs together where, mm-hmm. you know, you might have a group A that you're sending leads to and they're closing at a certain rate. And we've seen like group B, mm-hmm. you know, you might think, hey, these guys are the same. They're selling the same exact product, but yep. group B is selling at closing at half the rate as group A, right?
Yeah.
Same leads, same information, but, and I would say, you know, based on what I've seen, it's all about the talent, the training, and the system mm-hmm. of group A versus group B, sending them the same leads, one's closing double the amount of leads as the other one. I mean, is that pretty common? And does that really speak to kind of what you were saying of, you know, kind of building processes and training?
I would agree with that. You have processes in place, but you're always going to have, you know, let's just split them up and make it simple. You're going to have an A closer, a B closer, a C closer, and a D closer. You're going to have new agents coming in all the time as well. So they're not going to be an A closer out of the gate, but in 90 days they could be. So you also want to make sure that your best leads are going to your best agents. You don't want to ruin one of your best agents by sending them maybe a newer program that is not even off the ground yet. We haven't worked all the kinks out of it yet. So you don't want to overwhelm them. And
again, is that based on like messaging and like the right things to say that you're trying to figure out? Like, how do you get, I guess, you know, from, you know, you're getting all these leads in. I mean, it's a huge deal if you're doubling your close rate, right, on the same marketing spend. Mm-hmm. So like how do you get from, you know, point A to point B, I guess, you know, what has your experience been in that?
It's a good question. So when you're tweaking, like the way we did it there, and I've seen in other organizations that's worked really well too, is it's not you're like cherry picking the leads, but you're trying to find out which lead source has the highest close rate based on, you know, you have to put in a formula. Is it baseline's 100 leads and how many agents close that out of that one? Is it only on weekends? Like you kind of have to take enough data over time. So like 90 days is a good baseline to see what a new campaign is going to do. But you can generate it faster than that. So you can see what's going on that over a couple of weeks as well. But the longer the campaign's going, the more data you're going to get, the better off you're going to be able to determine who should this be going to. So skills-based routing is what we always called it. And I've seen in other organizations do the same as well. It's like based off their close rates on these type of leads, where do you rank at and when should you get a phone call faster? Should you get one faster than the guy next to you, or should you get, you know, 10, you get 10 leads a day no matter what it is, and you just, you know, you get the luck of the draw. So to combat that, we always looked at it like what was the best, you know, close rate on the leads and give those to the best agents at that point in time. Cause your agents are going to change throughout the day. You're going to have different ones coming on. So some call centers will work their agents 8 hours a day. Some will only do 4, some do 6. It's all dependent on what product you're selling and what's the availability. And now with the whole, you know, pandemic's happened in the last several years, a lot of people are working from home. So they get an opportunity to like live their day and jump on when they want to and take calls as needed. So some might work 12 hours a day because they want to make more money. And it depends on how you're paying them out. Is it commission based? Is it going to be a salary plus commission? So a a lot of different organizations across the country are doing it differently now. And, but again, it still goes back to the call center seems to be the best working model if you want to scale to multiple locations at the end of the day.
Is there like a size, like, you know, if, is there a size in terms of amount of locations you need to be at that a call center makes sense? Or is it something like, you know, I have five locations, like I can start, I can consider a solution, a call center solution for that. Like at what point, yeah, like I guess what size, and then also how do I determine, like, do I build out my own thing and do I work or do I hire, you know, a company that does this to satisfy it?
Those are great questions, Elliot. My experience is this. I've seen guys and gals that have three locations and they outsource everything to a call center because then you don't have the overhead again. So that's another part of it. You've seen owners of franchises like, I can't take all this stuff, I need help. And then an owner, like the franchise, go, we've got 20 locations. They will invest in a call center that's probably closer to the corporate headquarters so they can manage that. I think the sweet spot is once you get past five, you start, need to start to figure out some other solutions because you're just going to keep adding on more people, more headaches without processes. And then you have to manage all those people. And it's harder when you have them spread out to like continue to develop the process and understand what they're doing. So without developed and tested processes, you can't scale. So at five is when you need to start looking at the options of, do I go to a call center or I continue doing the way I'm doing it now? A lot of, you'll see this in HVAC a lot of times. They'll have multiple locations, but each location is doing it differently. They have a individual answers the phone, or they might have five, but they're rarely doing call centers. The ones that have scaled in into multiple cities, they usually have a call center. That's what's worked best for them on that part. Satellite, some of the, you know, smaller ones, they could probably do door knocking campaigns across the country and still make that work. But I think at the end of the day, you're still going to look at, once you get past five locations, it starts to get a little bit more hard to understand who's following up on this one, who's doing this one, where do we sell these leads to? It just gets harder and harder to do that. So having a centralized location to have everyone at makes the most sense. But yeah.
Yeah, I could also see, I mean, if you're a franchise, I would think that having a call center in place that handles the distribution of leads and following up would be like a value add, you know, yeah. Somebody were considering buying into it too. So it's not just, hey, how are we creating a consistent experience for our customers, but also, you know, like what value are we offering? Like, are we using this call center as a way to attract franchisees that are maybe considering other, you know, franchise opportunities, but we right. have all this figured out for them.
Yeah, it's hard to have a turnkey system if you're just, say, you know, invest $10,000, get a franchise. Well, what does it come with it? You know, so those are absolutely assets that you can attract new owners if you're trying to grow your franchise. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean, it blows me away how many times I see businesses that you're giving leads at the local level and they're just not following up with them mm-hmm. or they go, you know, I get a lead in at 3, they leave me a voicemail and then I'm trying to call them back the next day. And literally I can't remember the metrics, but it was something like, you know, 80% like falls off after the first few minutes. Right. So yeah. Like you get that age and then you can follow up. But like so much of it is, I think, timeliness, having somebody there to pick up the phone when it rings, or I know there's live transfers now you can do, you know, directly from a website or a digital ad where they can just hit a button and boom, connect, because so many people are on their mobile devices now. But if you don't answer the phone, like your chances of closing that become, you know, exponentially lower, like by the minute, right?
Absolutely.
So having some kind of a system to take care of that. And then I think the other side of it is your messaging, your follow-up, being able to connect. I know a lot of people now are, you know, when we talk about messaging, I mean, that could be a whole podcast in of itself, right? Like, what do you say? You know, how does that sales process go? Refining that and then making sure everyone's doing it the same. And then being able to tweak it and kind of train people up, because, you know, if you're selling windows, you know, it generally doesn't matter as much you know, where you're at, because it's very similar. But do you see that, like, is that important? Like, is messaging changed depending on, you know, what part of the country they're in at all? Or do you see it being pretty uniform generally?
So I've seen both. Art school of thought, from where I was, you know, cut my teeth at, it was, this is the script. You don't change it no matter where you're at. But we would see anomalies all the time of, this person sells way better in the East Coast than they will in the South, based on how they talk to those individuals. Are they more direct? Are they not? So there is a lot of programming today that you use in softwares that will tell you what's the personality type based on the first 30 seconds or so of a conversation. So you can, like, change how you're discussing the process, the product, with the individuals. A lot of people want to get away from a script. A script is basically like, if you're bowling, here's the gutters. It keeps you out of the gutter. That's what it does. And I think scripts are very valuable, because a lot of times individuals on sale that are doing it maybe the first time or to a new product, they don't know how to overcome the objection. And that, at the end of the day, is where it really is, where the rubber meets the road for that one, is can they overcome the objections? Because a lot of times if you hear agents, oh, I got to talk to my wife, or I got to talk to my husband. Okay, great. Call us back when you get a chance. And you hear that, that's an immediate, like, well, why didn't you ask any more? And that's why you got to have that sales coaching. So messaging, scripting, it's very important, in my opinion, across the board. And you can try to vary, you know, do variations throughout the different parts of the country, but having at least the foundation of a script with regular objections that you can, like, use rebuttals for, that's the key. That's the secret sauce at the end of the day, I think, that will make a call center group thrive and also die if they don't use it. And it's the only way that a manager can actually understand, are they doing it the right way? Some leads will come in, lead sources that are completely out of the blue, that are different, that will not work with. And you may have to find some other solutions for that one, but that's not a normal day-to-day issue. But yes, having scripting, messaging, that's consistent across the board, where, you know, if you stick one agent in a pod that's brand new around a bunch of great agents that are doing well, they'll pick up on that and listen very easily. If you have one rogue agent that's saying something that's completely out of the blue, that's like getting the more closed deals, that is like it's like cancer. It'll run right through the rest of the call center. They'll all start using that one rebuttal, and it may be off script. It may not be true as well. So you have to make sure that you're staying in compliance, that everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing that. So I agree with you. You've got to have the messaging that works best at a whole for everyone. And then you can change it a little bit, because every agent will put a little bit of their own spin onto anything they're doing.
Sure. Sure. And I know I've listened to a ton. I'm sorry. I've listened to so many calls from programs that we run where you're given leads, mm-hmm. and they're answering them at the local level. It could be the secretary or the office manager,
yep.
that's in there. And it's just crazy how they might ask a question like about a related product or something that, you know, maybe they don't have that exact thing, but they have something similar, but they don't say, we don't have that, but this is what we do, and here's why. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll just go, no, we don't do that. And then boom, you know, so much of that. Now, obviously, if you have a call center, you're kind of solving that, because, you know, you are training people how to respond, all these things, mm-hmm. and they're getting better and better at it as they do it more. And then, you know, they're, like you said, they're feeding off each other as things are working, and
right.
you're continually honing that in. Mm-hmm. But in some multi-location scenarios, like, let's say you have a network of independent dealers, or mm-hmm. culturally, the dealer or your franchisees just want to work the leads on their own. Have you experienced that? And how do you, let's just say that's non-negotiable. Somebody can't do a centralized call center, so they are passing the leads on, but obviously we still want them to convert at the highest rate possible. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with those situations? How do you get better? How do you get more consistency and better close rates? You know?
Yeah. To me, that's SOPs, and that's training, and that's a consistent person that's coming around or doing. I mean, now it's, we can do Zoom calls, like it's a normal thing. If no one else is like adverse to that now. That's what it is. And one-on-ones with your management. You can't expect someone to sit there and just answer call day, because in a storefront environment, like you're saying, you're talking about that person's probably doing multiple things, because when you're just waiting for the phone to ring, it can ring once an hour, 20 times in an hour. You don't know. And so if that's the way it's going, the only way to combat that is you got to have some kind of like centralized like reporting system that you know when the leads are coming in so you can track it. Because if they don't know that that's happened and the person leaves a message and they call them back, like that lead's already running down the road and they're chasing it. So chasing sales is never a good thing. So I think putting standard operating procedures in place of like, this is the procedure that we do. And then consistent training, letting people just listen to their own call is super effective that most people will not do. And so once you hear yourself like, oh my gosh, that was horrible. Like, why did I say that? or my favorite is don't say, and they're like, I don't say, and you let them listen to one call and they, and say, mark down every time you say, and they do, they have 20 marks and they're only a third of the way to the call. Just those pieces allow those individuals to be better, but then you can start to show them other ways to do it. My favorite thing to do in that scenario is also have a leaderboard to show the entire company, like every franchise, like why they're getting better. Because at the end of the day, that franchisee owner is like focused head down on their one location. And if you want to make your salesperson better, competition is easily the best place to do it, but also camaraderie. So if you can have salespeople across the groups chat with each other in some kind of fashion, I don't know, Slack is a great thing to use. Yep. Any kind of like technology they can talk to each other and help each other out, because you're going to have new people and there's no better training than one salesperson to another. Management's great. Trainers are great. But the people that are in the weeds every day, dealing with the objections, helping those individuals like with a service, those are the ones that are going to help each other out. So I always say when you're trying to hire someone that has a little bit of empathy, but that can actually ask for the deal. If you can ask for the sale and you have some empathy, you're going to go great. You're going to go really far in sales. But if you can, if you're just all about the deal, the close, the hunt, you'll be successful, but it will show somewhere that you're not getting that person, especially in home services, to where they want to be at, where they're going to actually refer you to other people as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like what you said about reporting too. That was a good word, by the way. Like, yeah, I completely agree. I like what you said about reporting, because I know there's a lot of like franchises that I speak with, you know, executives in these different positions. Mm-hmm. They often talk about how their franchisees maybe are, you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, complaining about wanting more leads. Mm-hmm. When in reality, as an executive team, they understand how many leads they're getting to a degree. Like they're saying, like, we're spending all this money, you're getting leads, you're just not converting them. And so right. One thing I like about what you're saying is by implementing this, these different tactics or SOPs, you can actually create clarity across the process. So people can, to make it easier for people to take accountability for the areas that they're responsible for, and then also perhaps help the executive team identify where they actually need help. Because mm-hmm. It just, like, when I talk with these execs, it's like they're so frustrated. Like, you know, right. Like I'm running into this problem, and it's like, and that's, again, that comes back to it making it difficult to scale. Like you can't mm-hmm. scale something where there's just such a lack of transparency and accountability. And it's also, I think it also like hinders the experience. So like, I love what you're saying, because to me, if I were going to buy into a franchise or I would want to be able to have a predictable understanding of what my experience is going to be right. And how they're handling some of this stuff. So just as an HVAC company, you're serving your customers. If you're a franchise, you're also, mm-hmm. you know, you're also responsible for serving your franchisees and creating experience. So I don't know. I just, you got my mind spinning around, you know, like what I would want, you know, and
well, it's such a big deal because if you're giving someone 100 leads in a month or a week or whatever, and you're closing 10% of those, you know, you're getting 10 sales. If you're closing 50%, you're getting 50 sales, five. Right. I mean, there's a huge difference there in revenue and things. And I think a lot of times franchisees or dealers, they just don't fully understand that. It's like they want leads, but when they don't have somebody readily available mm-hmm. to receive them, answer them, get back to them, sell in a professional way that's proven. I mean, as we've talked about, you know, this kind of a tactic and approach might produce double the results as this one. And so that's the benefit of being, you know, a multi-location business, a franchise, a dealer network, is that you have the expertise of the group and the resources of the group to put these things together and to help you know this is what's working, this is what's going to help you be more successful, right? So I love that, you know, creating standard operating procedures, having communication forums, training, but just being really intentional about the leads that are being given and how they're being responsive, and then having mechanisms to track and measure and listen to the recordings. Super important, you know, call track.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. The measure. Yeah. If you can't measure it, you can't grow it. I mean, that's at the end of the day. But I think the one thing I'd love to see more franchises do, they're trying to find new owners, is offer tools that are actually going to help them grow. For example, as an owner, you can't sit there. Let's say, we'll take an example. Lee said, Matt, here's 100 leads. Okay. And on average, every month, your guy or gal is closing 10 of them, but you want to get more, but you don't have time as the owner, because you're doing 12 other things, to actually sit there and listen to 100 phone calls. And let's be honest, the agent probably missed 5 to 10 of them because of other stuff, or just outside the window when they're working. So they don't have time to listen to all those phone calls. I think it'd be really helpful if the franchises would say, okay, you know what? We have a system. You're investing back with us in marketing. How about we do some sales enablement tools for you as well? Yep. We're going to do a QA process to help your agents get better. And it's going to be a score, and it's going to show them like where they can actually get better at. People want to hear how well they're doing, but the ones that really want to grow, they will take that constructive criticism that you're giving to them and show them like, here's how you can, and you show it like in monetized ways. Like if you do this and this, you can make this much more money every week. So you got to incentivize, but you got to measure. So giving those tools to those owners, it's invaluable, but a lot of franchises, they don't care about that part. They don't want to hear it. They don't have a team of individuals that are going out there to make sure that those, you know, franchisee owners are best served. Because at the end of the day, that's who's building that brand for you, because they are in the local area. You can do a decent job nationally, but the grassroots part of it is where being local, and that's where it really starts to go. And you can't outrun a bad reputation. So if they would just help out more in that area, I think that would be a huge, huge piece to get them to where they want to be at.
Yeah, I think that's very much overlooked a lot of times. It doesn't make sense, but it does happen. So if I'm looking to implement some of these things, like what's kind of the tech stack that you kind of need in place? I know with VOIP, it's really exploded over the past, you know, decade. It seems like there's a lot of really good solutions in place, maybe more cost effectively than there have been in the past. But what do you see tool set wise that you kind of need? What are some of the main, you know, software components and things, you know, to implement some of these strategies?
I think if you're going to do something where you're actually, you know, the phone calls part. So if you don't have individuals, like take door knocking out of it, because I think that's an entire different set of tech that you need, you know, with iPads and technology and availability to actually upload a customer into it, and it goes to the actual operations part where they can actually schedule for an install. But from the phone calls perspective, you've got to have your telephony's got to be where it needs to be at. And again, there's 100 different options. There's vanilla, there's all kinds of different ones you can use to do that. I know you guys have talked about several ones you guys have used in the past as well. But I think just find one that works best for you and just do a little bit of search and you find one and start small. Don't buy, you know, $250,000 telephony system that you may not need, especially when it's like web-based and you can use it the way you want to. Find something that has enough telephone numbers you can utilize as you expand and get more agents into it. You may want to actually have your marketing stuff set up the same way where it's coming through a specific telephone number. Be able to actually group individuals together. So you may have a group A, group B, group C, and you can send which lead you want to that way. But a good telephony system shouldn't cost you an arm and a leg, and should be able to give you like correct reporting, tell you when things are going on and allow you to listen to calls. That's at the start. You can always mature into stuff later on as you're going through that. But I think you also have to pair that with a great like CRM of some kind that can actually take those leads in there and actually tell you what happened to it. And when you're doing other, you know, marketing pieces of it, you may just be able to like, here's the marketing leads that are coming in, but then here's after we've talked to them and what happens after that. So you're following up with them too. So having a CRM where you can pass those things through and then paired with a telephony system, you should be able to get all your reporting out of that and have all the calls done at the same time as well. But then on top of that, you're going to have to install something that's going to for your technician group. They're going to be able to see like when someone, you know, when Mrs. Jones buys a security system, how's it going to get installed and when's it going to be set up for that too. So there, the tech stack can get big quick, depending on what it is. That's why I think a lot of people are scared of the technology and they'll just do it by hand. They'll do it by paper. They'll do it by spreadsheets. I mean, I don't know how many companies I've walked into and talked to them like, this is how we do it. It's all on a spreadsheet. Now they're using Google Docs. And I get that. I totally do. But today's day and age, there's so much tech that you can use. And again, there's usually a solution. I know Titan is one for the HVAC system, you know, HVAC world. There's usually a specific technology that each different like home services vertical will actually use, you know, more than we're not. So
it kind of manages all the aspects of their
tech
and the install process and all that. Yeah. It's kind of all, they're like merging together more and more with
Odyssey. And I can't stress enough. Yeah. If you don't have a decent website, none of the rest of the stuff matters because you're not going to get a phone call. So you're just going to be paying for leads. And again, you can pay all of these different aggregators. I mean, there's hundreds of them out there that will sell you, you know, leads to them. But I think at the end of the day, getting your own brand out there and your own presence in your city that you're doing, that's the ones you can affect the most. So. Yeah,
and it's exclusive. You don't have four people calling them. You've generated that. They've come to you. And
that's your best investment you can ever have is your own website that you can actually control and get people to come to it that way.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. As far as like follow-up, you know, like you don't always connect with people, even if they just send in a lead. I mean, is how much more is text messaging being used now? I mean, is that a tactic that's been working pretty well in addition to just calling and email?
Yeah, I think it's working. Honestly, I can tell you, I refinanced my house recently without talking to any individual. I did it all through text. So, and then actual, you know, online to fill out all the paperwork and all that too. So I think you can absolutely do that. And in our day and age, people are busy. They don't have a lot of time for it. It works really easy. I don't think that's the way you start at though. I see a lot of companies that are trying to do, you know, just blanket text messages out to people. And I think they're immediately turned off. You still have to get their trust. So Facebook messaging, you know, Messenger is a great way to also like that with text messaging. Those two things work really well together, but you got to have a connection piece first. So they've come to the website, they're asking for questions. I think the more content you can create to get people to answer their whys or their pain points, that's going to get you more opportunities. But I would not use text messaging as a blanket to just throw out there. I would
like an outbound there. You're saying they call in or they interact with the website and then you start a conversation that way.
Right.
But it's a good follow-up because I think text, like one, I mean, the deliverability and read rate is so high because who doesn't read? I mean, I get hundreds of emails a day. So a lot of emails I don't even read, but text, if it comes up on your phone, you're seeing that because it's very personal.
Yeah. The best place I've seen it thrown into is that a phone call comes in or a form fill comes in. You've made the outbound call. Nothing happens. No harm. Throw a text message. But the messaging has to be consistent. You can't just like open the door to all these agents and say, text whatever you want to. They need to be somewhat canned where they can.
But a lot of these systems, these systems will have that, right? Like almost like a process where I call, I don't get anybody. Then I put them into a process and they'll get a text and whatever. And then
correct.
They respond, boom, it surfaces back up to the agent and then they can respond that way.
Yeah, you can develop out call sequences where I called this time, didn't happen. And in 10 minutes, a text message is going to go out. And then 30 minutes after that, an email is going to go out to them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to call back again 3 hours later, because that is your moment. Someone called in today, they may be busy right now, or if they tell you what happened, that's the other part of it, is in the system. It has to be able to either identify that, all right, someone called back, don't, you know, take them out of the sequence. It takes a lot of time to build those pieces out, but they are absolutely worth it at the end of the day, because it allows your people to be more focused on the phone call and not the 20
the process of like afterwards. Doing, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yep. People can only do three things max. They're focused on those three. If they focus on anything else besides that, they're going to lose. So don't give them too much to work on. Get them just, you're closing, you'll do follow-up, but give them the tools to help them do some of the things that make it easier for them.
This whole conversation just makes me want to get into own a franchise. It just makes me pumped. I'm like, what? Like, where can I go to like
get a good franchise that has tools?
Yeah. A good franchise that has tools that is like on the friggin' yeah.
I get an email every day, like, hey, would you want to do this? Or like get hit up on LinkedIn all the time about that as well. Like, I mean, it is honestly, if you're a process person, and you can do the same thing every day and you want to be in a service business, that is the best way to start. Especially if you can like buy more than one in the same franchise, you have multiple locations with that one too. Yeah. So, yeah. We're seeing a shift in home services, right? We can't find enough individuals to do this and that. People are waiting weeks and weeks and weeks to get something done to their homes right now. So there has to be a change. Like there has to be a change. And you see a lot of these companies that are really, you know, have a great foundation and also like family owned ones as well for a long time. They're doing the training. They will take people straight out of high school and say, we're going to give you training for 3 years and we'll pay
so
you.
So cool.
I got a friend of mine. They recognize that.
They are in the flooring industry and they created an entire apprentice program where they're going into schools, and they did it out of necessity because they couldn't find enough trades.
So cool.
A lot of people in the trades now can make six figures.
Yeah. I mean, states are giving money for this too. So, I mean, it's not, you don't have to go do it on your own, but you have to build your bench out. And people don't realize that from that level is like, when you're running a business, you have to have a bench to pull from, because people are going to leave. Something's going to happen. You're going to expand. Every time you expand, you got to fill that expansion with the same kind of people we have, or they move over and start to run those places. And you got to have promotion. Like, people want to be promoted within. So if you take care of your people, the rest of the business works itself out very easily.
I love this conversation. Like, I just want to keep talking about this stuff. I think this is such an interesting topic within, you know, marketing and just lead gen and all of it. And we're definitely going to have you back on, John, if you're open to that.
Totally. And that's why I love doing consulting with the home services group, because it's always an opportunity to learn about an individual, their success, their fails, their where they're going to, and like help them grow their business. I mean, you can throw a rock in it at a home services company these days. Yeah. So, but it's finding the right ones to help grow that. That's where it really counts at.
Yeah. And then as you scale and you get these processes and you figured it out, and that's why a lot of people start franchises. Like, I've done this, I've figured out these systems and now I want to take this and let other people benefit from it. But I would say that if you own a franchise or you have a dealer network or even multiple corporate locations, all this stuff is so important. Now, from a franchise perspective though, like that is a huge, not only is it going to help your franchisees and help you grow your revenue and do a great job, but it's also a huge selling point for you as a franchise, because people want to buy, they want all this stuff figured out for them.
Yeah.
And the more you have that, the less they have to worry about, because most people, you know, I've heard it said like, people are more afraid of public speaking than death. That's like the number one, like, you know, most fear. And I think sales is very similar to that, right? Because you're having to talk to somebody. And so a lot of people just don't like doing it. And if you're starting a franchise, like you said, sales is always a black hole. You can give 120% to sales alone, but you've got all these other parts of the business and then you're doing this. So if a franchise can have a great marketing system, which we've talked a lot about in this podcast, not as much today, but there are ways to generate leads, you know, at the local level and why that's important. But then how do you follow up and get those to the next step? Schedule, whether that's scheduling a measurement, an in-home estimate, or just doing the job, you can, that first line of call center, you know, or highly trained people that are at the local level that can answer these things, because they make a huge impact in your overall sales conversion rates and your revenue. And it's going to help you really sell your franchise to people looking for more of a turnkey system, right? So I think just to wrap up, tell about how you, you know, how you can help. I mean, obviously some people are new to this, like going in and jumping in and trying to do all the research and learn all this on their own is, can be overwhelming. How do you engage with people that, you know, are in this situation, have multi-location businesses, need to be able to do this at scale, whether it's through a call center or training systems that really help their local representatives? Talk about how you can help them and how people can kind of get in contact with you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, so that's like my best like resource, and feel good, find me there and we can just chat, but that's what it is. It's a conversation. Come tell me what your problems are and I'll see if what we can do for you. That's what we do with every group that we talk to. We do an analysis on them and our competitors to find out where they stand at, because we need a baseline to understand what's going best for them. And then where, you know, when I meet owners, like there's one of four options. They're either, they understand marketing, they're really good at it, they're good at sales, they're good at operations, they're good at finance. One of those four, you know, pillars they're good at. That means they're not great at the other three. So that's where I look at to find their personality, what they're looking for. And then what is their why? Are they trying to grow? Are they trying to like maintain? Are they trying to like pass this off to the next generation? Like, what are the options that they're trying to look at for the future? Because most people aren't sitting there looking in the rearview mirror. They want to know about how do I get through today and prepare for tomorrow? So that's what we're going to do with them. We're going to sit there and talk to them and find out what their goals are, and then what the gaps are at, and what's the best processes, because we've got 1,000 different tactics, but I don't know which one's going to work for that person until I dig in and look under the hood and find out what they got going on. So until that happens, you know, it's a, I don't like to guess. I like to have
no
like a
cookie cutter plan. Solution.
There's not, because if you do that, I mean, there are people out there, that's all they do is cookie cutter solutions. Like, I'll build you a website for $100. I'll do this for this much, or I'll do a social media campaign for like those work, or I'll give you a call center for this much. There has to be an ability to do each one of those. That's why I don't take on more than like maybe 3 to 4 clients at a time anyway, because I want to be able to give them as much attention as they possibly need, but also let's solve the problems and get to the goals you want to get to.
Yep. Awesome.
Awesome, man. So, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I've personally learned a lot, and it's fun to just hear what's available working whenever, guys.
But I appreciate the time too. Well, this is what I do every day, so I get to talk to individuals every day and find out how we can help them in whatever way possible. But home services is just a passion, because it's, you know, my father owned a welding company when I was growing up, and he's always helped people, and we went to a lot of those companies and helped them get their stuff going too. So. Yeah. So cool. It's been a passion. So, but I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when you connect all those dots, it's just exciting to see clients do it.
Right? Yes.
Because you can do a good job of lead gen, but then you're not converting or leads are being wasted.
Yeah.
But when you see them go from, this is what we do, what makes us unique and different, and they answer all those questions, they've got localized content information, they're ranking well, they're getting tons of organic traffic, they're doing digital ads or whatever other tactics, and they're coming back, they're generating these leads, they know where they're coming from, they're going to people, they're doing a great job of then communicating the value proposition that's going out the end, they're servicing them well, they're growing.
Yep.
There's nothing more rewarding than that when
you're
part of it, and it's exciting, because there's a lot of things to do in that, and a lot of people, you know, if they can connect with people that know these aspects and how it applies, especially to multi-location, to franchise, to dealer networks, it is a different beast. And sometimes, you know, they're talking to people that, well, I do that, but I've not really done it multi-location. And then there's such a big difference if you are multi-location than if you're just, you know, one national, you know, kind of product. So what you do is super valuable, and I'm sure hopefully people will take you up on that and connect with you, because I think you can really provide a lot of value if this is an area they're looking to expand in.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Matt.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks again, Elliot. John. Great.
Yeah. All thanks right. for being on. Thanks everybody for listening. And yeah, catch you again on the next episode of Multi-Location Marketing Show.
All right. Bye.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Multi-Location Marketing Show. If you're a multi-location business wanting to improve your local marketing, visit marketsnare.com/podcast for more content and resources. While you're there, book a call with one of our multi-location specialists where we'll dive into your local marketing challenges and offer recommendations for improvements. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Multi-Location Marketing Show.